Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Armor Report. I'm your host, Brett Rosenthal. And this show is all about stock market investing through the millennial lens. So I'm glad you're here with me on the Armor Report. It stands for Algorithmic Risk Management Research. What I like to say is this is not your dad's stock market anymore. It's certainly not your granddad's. We have an overwhelming amount of information thrown at us as investors every day. And in the millennial market, you need millennial tools to help you execute. So you can still do your fundamental research. Lord knows we do on our trading desk here. But you've got to use the tools of today to execute correctly so you're not taken advantage of by the professional institutions who are using algorithms every day. More than 90% of all transactions on major exchanges are algorithmic based. These are just facts. Okay, so what we do on the trading desk and what I'm doing on this show is I incorporate our fundamental research with our proprietary algorithmic tools to give you a picture of what the markets are doing and perhaps help you execute more effectively in this market. So as I like to start the day, I always go over news of the day and I say, should this news be changing my approach to investing? Is there anything out there that's really affecting the algorithms? And so far, the answer is no today. We had that strong ADP report. We're going to get the employment report on Friday. That always, jerks the market around. There's just a lot of cross currents right now is the feeling we have on the trading desk. And so we're not getting any real confirmation one way or the other. I've been covering, as you know, we talk about ad nauseum, the five big indexes. That's where we start our investing process. The S&P, the Dow, the NASDAQ 100, small cap index, and mid caps. And we have algorithms to help us know when to add risk and when to reduce risk on each of those five. You can always find our real-time monitor on our home page of our website, rosenthalcapital.com. And so we update that as soon as something new comes out on our algorithms that would change our approach. And, nothing has changed yet, but if you look at our real-time monitor at rosenthalcapital.com, you'll see that on the 5th of July, we call this the real-time armor report risk on, risk off monitor. On the 5th of July, we got long the S&P and the NASDAQ 100, and we've yet to be out of those transactions. It's been a long uptrend. It's been a great uptrend. We've made some good money. And we're always, as Andy Grove, the late great CEO of Intel used to say, only the paranoid survive. He wrote a book about that. It's a great book, actually, great read. Only the paranoid survive. And so we're always looking for what's changing in the marketplace. What's changing? So far, nothing big has changed since September on our big five indexes. We're long the S&P and the NASDAQ. We have been since the beginning of July. We're long the Dow as of the 17th of August, and we're still on those transactions. We're still long those big indexes, but risk off on small caps and mid caps in the middle to late September, and that remains the setup. And so it's a little disconcerting. I mean, the market keeps rolling along, so I'm not going to get on and here and tell you that our trading desk is changing dramatically our exposure, but we have highlighted a number of groups on the show, and if you follow me on Twitter, hashtag Armor Report, A-R-M-R Report, you'll see that we've been highlighting groups like the semiconductor stocks, or today I wanted to talk about the precious metal stocks, which I'll get to a little bit later. GDX is the ETF there that we're investing in or we're focusing on. And whenever we chat about algorithms here on our trading desk, don't forget, we use the millennial tool of exchange-traded funds to write our algorithms for. And we either directly invest in the ETFs or we drill down into each ETF and figure out what are the biggest stocks, most important stocks in each ETF, and maybe we'll want to own those individual names. I'll get to that a little bit later. I mean, we're not, at the moment on our trading desk, you could be long the Dow, DIA. You could also be long some of the key names in the Dow. We're long IBM and Caterpillar. It's just as examples of what we're doing. And I'll get to that a little bit later, too. We'll go revisit those entry points. But there is a feeling on our trading desk that there's some deterioration going on behind the scenes. So while we still have strong uptrends and we're making money today and market's up and that's nice, some disturbing failures are occurring at a higher rate than have been in the last few months. So we're getting some exchange-traded group investments, stocks like SOXX or GDX, I'll get to later, or IBB, Biotech Index, some of the Chinese indexes, KWEB. These are some of our favorite indexes, and we booked our profit in IBB. It was a real nice move, but starting to show weakness. We've been talking about the semiconductors for the last couple of days, and yet we can't get along that index because it keeps underperforming at the end of the day. It looks strong in the morning, fails at the end of the day. And this has been the pattern of the big indexes also over the last four or five trading sessions. So is this just a consolidation? And then, we're going to break out today and close at new highs. That would be great. But how many times can you have a strong open and close lower and have that not portend a reversal in the market? So I really want to see what happens at the close today. It's another strong day at the open in the indexes. We found resistance at the highs again. So one of two things is going to happen. Either the Dow, which is breaking out to new highs, will continue to lead the big caps and will finally get closing strength in the NASDAQ 100 and the S&P following the Dow, or the small caps, the canary in the coal mine, will be leading. Those small caps broke down hard recently, as have the mid caps. That's the deterioration under the surface that I'm talking about. And the big debate is that deterioration or rotation? That's the big debate on our trading desk. Is it deterioration or rotation? Are we just seeing money rotate as we get positive trade deal announcements? And so, as they are different trading desks talking about how that small cap trade is unwinding. And if that's the case, then that's fine. We'll let the markets show us. We'll finally have a strong close at the end of the day, making new highs on the NASDAQ and closing highs on the NASDAQ and S&P. And to me, that would confirm the Dow closing high. And that'll mean that it's just a rotation trade. But if we continue to suffer in the last hour of the day, which has been the case for the last week or so, then eventually that's just going to get too heavy, and it'll be that small caps were leading the original, the decline. So we're still in limbo. I can't really help you right now on this call. We're still in limbo. I'll tell you that we do have many different types of algorithms. I've talked about this before. You have intraday trading algorithms, you have multi-day swing algorithms, and then you have algorithms to help you adjust a longer-term portfolio. So in our shorter-term algorithmic portfolio today, and we have a strategy that automatically trades the NASDAQ 100, QQQ. We can also send that trading strategy into hyperdrive with QLD, which represents an ETF that returns twice the movement of the QQQ. And anyway, so at around 11:15 today, we were getting long the NASDAQ 100 on that intraday strategy. And so far, we're making money on that transaction. So we had a gap up then we this morning at the open and a run higher through 10:15. Then we had an hour-long sell-off, took us to the lows of the trading session. And then we had our entry opportunity, and we're trading above those levels so far. But really, until we see a strong close at the end of the day, I'm on pins and needles, and I'm on our trading desk, and I'm always trying to share with you real-time information right off of our trading desk, things that are literally occurring in our portfolio, and doing this in a manner to help you understand where we're adding and reducing risk. So at the moment, we've added risk to the portfolio in the big indexes, but over the last week, we've been subtracting risk in individual stocks and in groups that haven't been performing. We've taken some break-even trades where we had a nice run-up and then a reversal right back to entry, and we step aside. That's not the action we're looking for. And so today is kind of continues to be a wait and see day, although we are adding to our big indexes on weakness this morning. When you say weakness, the markets have been up all day. That's true. So we're not buying the open. We bought the weakness from 10:15 to 11:15. That set up our opportunity for our intraday trade, which may turn into a multi-day trade if we close, you know, on the highs today. If we get strong movement into the close on the NASDAQ 100 and the S&P, and we'll hold on to those intraday trades and increase our exposure, because that will be a confirmation. We'll get new closing highs in the S&P and the NASDAQ 100, confirming the Dow closing high of yesterday, and that'll tell us we're going to go higher. It's another leg up in the market. So moving on, just to repeat, we've been trying to get long the semiconductor index, and we cannot do it. Our algorithms are telling us the risk-reward setup is not accurate. Intel's looking great. That gave us a nice risk-reward entry point into that investment. That stock is moving higher, but the rest of the semiconductors are not following. So can't get long there, even though God knows I want to. And, you know, yesterday's trading desk call, the Armor report from yesterday, that's all we talked about was, you know, what we were looking for in semiconductors. But we didn't get it at the end of the day, and we're updating Twitter. Usually at the end of the day, you're going to want to take a look at hashtag Armor Report between 3:30 and 4. We try to update things that are occurring and whether or not we're adding or reducing risk there. Okay, another thing to mention, just, you know, the leading sector in the market, I like to follow an exchange-traded fund called FFTY, Foxtrot, Tango, Yankee. That is the Investor's Business Daily 50. It's tech innovators. They've been a real leadership group, and they've been suffering the last 3 or 4 days. That's another piece to the puzzle of deterioration that concerns me. So I want to see if they hold support in here. Take a look at that index, FFTY at ETF. I got my eye on KWEB again on the trading desk. We're looking for another entry. We had a gain in the position. It reversed back to break even. We stepped aside to see if it was going to accelerate lower. It didn't. It held support. Now we're looking for another re-entry there. And the reason we're focusing on KWEB is it has the same type of setup as some of our big successes over the last couple of months. So I'm going to get to that in a minute. We're going to go over a particular type of setup that the algorithms are looking for. And we're seeing that setup in precious metals and in Chinese companies. So it makes us focus there. I'll get to that in a second. You know, what the heck? Let's just get to that right now. Let's jump to it. What we try to do, you know, our algorithms are all about taking advantage of weakness in the market and selling into strength. We hear this term all the time. We hear terms thrown around on financial networks like risk on, risk off, and, you know, buy low, sell high. These all sound, you know, interesting, but as an individual investor, how do you really execute when fear and greed normally take over your thought process? It's just human nature to be afraid when things are going down and be euphoric as things are going up. And what you have to do is flip that emotion on its head. And so you can invest in a number of hypnotherapy sessions that might work. Or you can also work with algorithms that tell you when the reward versus risk setup is at its maximum, and that's when you put capital to work. And just avoid chasing every other time. And so we wait for these fundamentally sound ideas. Companies we really like IBM, for instance. We've been talking about this a lot on the Armor Report. I hope you're picking up what I've been laying down. IBM could be the single best place to have capital in a conservative portfolio if you're looking for an individual stock idea over the next 5 years. It's a long time coming. IBM's been trying to turn around their business for quite some time. Warren Buffett gave up on the idea. But don't forget, Buffett's made a lot of mistakes along the way, as well as successes. He'll admit it. Just read some of his annual reports. He just couldn't wait any longer in IBM. But our algorithm was telling us when the stock was trading at 143 and change to get long the asset. The reward from here is worth the risk. And now we're up 10 points on the investment. If you're following the Armor Report, hashtag Armor Report, you know we've been long IBM since that low. And you know we've traded it earlier in the year for profits from that low. So when it gets down into the 144 area, 142 area, we picked it up at 143 and change, on an algorithmic entry point, picking up almost a 4.5% dividend yield with a major stock buyback and a potentially enormous turnaround of this company. That is an example of what this trading desk is all about and what the Armor Report is all about. Fundamental ideas, and turnaround stories are one of our favorites. Conservative ideas where you get a dividend along with it, and then you get this perfect reward risk entry point using the algorithm. We're up $10 on the transaction. We're picking up a dividend yield, and we're coming into earnings. October 16th. Get ready, right? Could be crazy. Could be another down quarter. Maybe the stock sells off back down to the 143. It's possible. But the reward versus risk is worth it. Am I buying it at 153? No. The time to buy was 10 points ago. Now analysts are looking for down revenue quarters, so analyst expectations are low. And that's what you want going into a quarter, so that you could see a beat, which would surprise the street. That would be great. Maybe it'll happen, maybe it won't. But the time to buy IBM was at 143 and change. Now I've got a $10 cushion, and I'm collecting the dividend. Let's go over to Caterpillar, another chart pattern, exactly the same type of scenario. They were beating up Caterpillar for months because of the Chinese trade negotiations. Caterpillar peaked in January, and it sold off from a high. What's that high price there? Looks like around 173 down to 130. We were picking up Caterpillar 144 and change. That seems to be the number, the area on these big Dow companies. Now the stock is trading at 158. That's another dividend payer. There's an example of how the Armor Report looks to find fundamental ideas we like, wait for weakness, get the reward versus risk calculation at its optimal, and then put capital to work. Big gain in Caterpillar. And there hasn't even been a deal announced yet with China. But that Caterpillar run and other names that are Chinese sensitive that are running make us feel that K-Web should set up sometime in here. Gosh, I hope it does. I'd like to get another opportunity at it. It could be a big winner. Not long right now. And then let's look at another name that we've been talking about on the desk. GWPH. GW Pharmaceutical.
Order filled.
We've been looking at that stock. Following it for a while. It's a marijuana company, right? They have an FDA-approved drug, a DEA-approved cannabis oil drug. When I say approved, the DEA has allowed it to enter this country and calls it of minimal risk. Stock dropped from the 165 area in May of this year all the way down to 130. And we were paying around 142 for the stock. 142 for the stock. Since 140 is where the Armor Report this year really likes that price, whether it's IBM, Caterpillar, or GW Pharmaceutical. And of course, GW has exploded from the 140 area up to 164.5, running as high as 179. Okay? So now you're getting the feeling for what we do at the Armor Report. We're looking fundamentally for weakness to set up the right reward risk entry point. Now, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I did say this show was going to be about gold and gold stocks. And it's so dangerous to talk about this group. It is so hard to make money in this group over the last 5+ years. So the risk on this idea is enormous compared to these other investments I'm talking about. But I will tell you that what's occurred in gold and silver and the gold and silver stocks looks to be the same type of a reward setup, even though risk is higher. So probably what we'll do is limit the position size on GDX. But GDX is set up for a move higher. And is it because we're getting wage increases through Amazon, which are going to be leading to possible inflation? And so does the market begin to nibble away at gold and silver? You can hear my hesitation in my voice because it's just so hard to make money in this group, but it is a group worth watching. Now, you might have to get past the employment number on Friday. They tend to love to beat up gold and silver whenever we announce employment numbers. The algorithm is long GDX and has been since late September. It hasn't really gone anywhere yet. Ran up, pulled back, had a nice update yesterday on that Amazon news. I think it was the Amazon news that did it, because wage increases is you know what will really bring inflation. And so you might get investors nibbling away at this group. But certainly the reward from here is worth the risk taken. So the setup looks very similar to KWEB. It looks similar to Caterpillar and IBM, which is to say, and by the way, how about MJ? Let's don't forget our crown jewel in our portfolio right now. We bought the marijuana stocks right near the lows of the year because of our algorithmic risk entry point and the watershed event that occurred with Constellation Brands that set up that opportunity. And we've made a lot of money in the last couple months. And that type of pattern setup is occurring here in GDX. But again, it's going to be a limited exposure for us because it's so hard to make money in this space. You might have heard in the background our computer order system saying, order executed. That was us booking a bit of a profit on our intraday trading tool for the triple Qs. We were long, like I said earlier on the show, at around 11:15, and we're running up towards the highs. We're booking profits as we go. Our intraday trading tool, our algorithm that automatically trades the NASDAQ 100, with a very high degree of success on those transactions is really a kind of like a market-making algorithm. I talked yesterday about three different types of algorithms: your high-frequency trading algorithms, which are also market-making intraday tools, and then your neural networks, which are predictive algorithms that I'm going to address on maybe on a different call. But suffice it to say, I don't have a lot of confidence in neural networks. I think they can work for a certain period of time, but they are built just like humans are built. They just move a lot faster. They're taking a bunch of data, crunching it, and coming out with a prediction. And that works for a period of time until the markets change and those predictions don't work. So I know some people are screaming at me right now saying, we have neural networks. They work great. Look, I hope they continue to work great. I mean, no offense, but in my experience, predictive networks, predictive algorithms breed a certain amount of arrogance in their developers who can't admit when they start going wrong. And things get ugly fairly quickly in those neural networks. So what we like to do is focus on just probabilities and statistics. They don't lie. And they keep us humble. We have stops on everything we're doing. We don't predict what the market's going to do next. All we say is, let's get on the right side of statistics and probabilities. Statistically speaking, the risk reward is correct. We should get paid if we're right here, and our loss will be relatively the same each time we put capital to work. That's our comfort zone. So anyway, you might have heard the computer itself say order executed. We just booked some of our profit as the NASDAQ runs up towards the highs of the day. And so now I still am waiting to see where we close the day. The market can punch through the highs and close on the highs of the day, then we might have a ball game. And we're getting a major reversal higher at the moment in the small cap index. So maybe we'll get a close to new highs on the NASDAQ 100 and the S&P by the close today, confirming the Dow, and we'll have a nice new run up higher in this what has been an unbelievable uptrend since July. I do want to add one thought here. I know I'm a little disjointed today. Just maybe it's because of the market itself. There's just a lot of weird cross currents, but we are focused heavily on the pipeline stocks. I know a lot of people have been asking. I got a couple minutes left in the show, and I try to get to questions and answers. So I get emails through rosenthalcapital.com. You can always send them to us through our contact information, and we'll try to address what I can on the show every day. Direct message me at Brett Rosenthal on Twitter. And so one of the questions I've been getting is energy questions. Do we invest in energy stocks? What about energy stocks? My favorite way to play energy stocks on this trading desk is through the pipelines. And since we're a big ETF players, our favorite way to play the pipelines is through the ETF AMLP, Alpha Mike Lima Papa, AMLP. We've been on this investment for quite some time on the trading desk. This is not a new investment, so I'm not suggesting that we're taking new investments. Well, I guess it's a follow-on is what it is. We've been long this index since the April-May time frame, and we've been collecting a yield of better than 8%. And so it's a yield play for us. And on the most recent upswing in the energy stocks, and it's true, look, you could buy the big energies, you could buy some of the small energies. I just never seem to really enjoy trading those stocks. And for my money, I'd rather pick up an 8% yield and get the benefit of rising energy prices. And so there was a follow-on buy signal in AMLP. And this is the question people have been asking me. And that was a couple days ago on the 1st of October. So you could add to you, we were actually adding to our AMLP position on our desk. But that's an add-on position, and I do have to tell you, going back really to the lows of actually April. Yeah, April 5th is when we originally put our position on the pipelines, AMLP, which is right near the lows of the year, which is the same type of chart pattern as MJ and the same kind of setup. And I'll just end on this note again of what's going on in GDX. So anyway, this is a follow-on entry. It was a run back down to test the 200-day moving average. It was there was strong support at the 200-day, and we've added the positions on the pipeline stocks. So I hope that helps. I look forward to talking to you again tomorrow, and have a good day of trading.